Blog Talk Radio.
Given an old time gospel, given an old time gospel, given an old time gospel, it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. It has saved all the fathers, it has saved all the fathers, it has saved all the fathers, and it's good enough for me. I give that old time gospel, give that old time gospel, give that old time gospel, it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven, it will take us all to heaven, it will take us all to heaven, it is good enough for me. Give me that old time gospel, give me that old time gospel, give me that old time gospel, it's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough for me. And it's been a little time gospel. Give me a little time gospel. Give me a little time gospel. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. I'll give me that old time gospel, give me that old time gospel, give me that old time gospel, it's good enough for me. Amen. Good to see you, sister-in-law. Hope think you're traveling right now. Hope things are going well. You made it in already. This is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ. We're running a little later today than we normally are. We were at the Levi Kennedy Memorial Banquet, the 42nd, and had a magnificent time. The time was far spent. It was a little further out than normal, and they changed the location, and it took us a little longer. So normally we're on at 6 o'clock. Today we're not on until 7. We're going to sing a couple more songs, and then we will have, yeah, I see you're still traveling back home. We're going to have you in prayer, keep you in prayer as we for traveling grace. And a couple more songs, and we're going to have prayer and then have communion. Maria, I see you on. If you can grab communion for us, sweetheart, appreciate that very much. Shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, and in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm, a secure one of him. He'll be tighter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. The shade by day, the prince by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fear's alone, no fear of fight, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Well, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Although raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. I will never leave a safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. With Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Amen. Good to see you, Sister Lopez. Hope you guys are doing well. Brother Lopez and the crew, praise God for you, your darling, et cetera. Edward Carr, my cousin, good to see you, Doc. Hope things are going well with you as well. We had a few other came on, Brenda Everhart, as well as Gertrude Sanders. My sister, Lyle, she had to be traveling back to Georgia, running for president of the United States in 2020. And so we're just having a lot of us just now coming on. Maria, if you hear me, can you bring in the communion, sweetheart, if you would, please? All right, let's go. Let's sing one more song. They're coming in wanting to be tagged and so on. Sing one more song, and then we will have prayer, and then we'll get to communion at hand. Let's see. Thank you, dear. Appreciate that. Jesus is coming soon. Anybody believe that? Do you believe that he is on his way? He is anticipating, waiting for the Father to say, go get my children. Amen. Amen, somebody. Jesus is coming soon. If you know, sing along with me. Troubles and times are here. Fill them in hearts with fear. Freedom we all have, dear. Now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God. Save from the chastening rod. Seek the lifted arms strong. Christians awake. My Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the shall as righteous lead in the sky, going where no one dies, ever will bow. Trouble will soon be over, happy for him, the more when we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. And we then shall fly, glory to share. My Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meeting. The sky, there will no one die, ever will die. My Jesus is coming soon, morning or night, or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous leading the sky, there will no one die. Everyone bound. Amen. Amen. Let us reverently bow at this time. Good to see you, Brother Daniel Carr. Praise God for you, my brother. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you this evening thanking you the very best we know how. Thanking you for the rain and for the pain. Thanking you for being a great God, for besides you, there is no other. Father, we come to you today because there's no one else to come to that can handle man's problems all at the same time. Father, we sometimes can be decent jugglers, but when it comes to our own issues of life, it seems that one will knock us out. So, Father, we're asking you to continue to help us in our daily walk, help us in our daily talk, help us in our daily movement, and help us in our daily thinking. For if we walk right and talk right, sing right, pray right, act right, move right, obey right, then maybe we can get upright, spend eternity with thee. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, and we want to spend the rest of our lives showing you how much that we care about you in a similar manner that you cared about us when you sacrificed your life and died on yonder's cross for all of us. Father, we're coming to you today because there's no greater power than thee. There's no greater love than thee. There's no greater strength than thee. Father, there's no greater forgiveness than through thee. There's no greater motivation than being through thee. There's no greater joy than recognizing relationship with thee. And there's no greater blessing that can come unless it come from thee. And so, Father, we want to thank you even on today. Thank you for my wife and I and many others gathering out in Palos Hills at the 32nd, I believe it was, Levi Kennedy Banquet. And we got a chance to hear Brother Dansby, 80 years old, speak eloquently about the changes that have taken place to Southwestern Christian College and the motivation and excitement as the evolution has taken place from the beginning, visions of such and the sacrifice of those that have passed on before us as to right now, those that are laboring and the great things that are coming along with it and the exposure that Southwestern is now getting under new presidency, under new leadership, and under the support, continual support of the Brotherhood, Chicago specifically. So we want to take our hats off to all those working on that cause. Father, I want to commend my wife to continue to stay on me about us staying involved in these efforts based on the fact that she is an alumni of Southwestern as well. So, Father, I'm just asking you to continue to bless the work there, bless those that are working there, and that you will provide the funding that's needed for the school to go forward, the needs, not the greeds, and that it will continue to be a beacon of light, producing gospel preachers everywhere because of what you've allowed to be done. Nothing can take place without your sanction, without your allowance, and with your stamp of approval. And so we're just so thankful for that. And we're praying for greater things to come and greater movement to come. Father, we're just so humbled by that. I want to come to you today in regards to those that are on today. And we're praying, Father, that they, those that are on today, if they're on Facebook Live, that they will share the video so that others will be blessed as well simultaneously, that the word of God will be spread far and wide. You never know who you can come in contact with. But if you just share it, you don't know who will be sitting somewhere that needs to hear the message of today. We're going to come to you also with regards to those that are on Blog Talk, Radio Time, Father, Radio Line, that are on, out of Norway and in Canada and the continental United States as well as Chicago. We want to thank you. We're on our radio show, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. And so we're running simultaneous our worship and our Bible study so that we can reach the masses for thee and let folks know how great you are. Yes, we're here to brag on Big Brother Jesus. He's been so good to us, and he's made such a sacrifice that we truly need to understand the great sacrifice that needs to be done. Father, I come to you in regards to my sister-in-law, Alice Yancey Teeks, who is still en route back home. It was good to see her this weekend, yesterday evening, and her and Sister Brenda Butler, we ask you to continue to bless her and keep her whenever she comes back to Chicago, a native of Chicago, but she's down in Atlanta, and her blood is got a little thin down there. So whenever she comes back up to the Windy City, where the weather is a lot more thicker, and you need a jacket or a sweater when you come from thin air, She always seems to catch a cold or some type of sickness. So we're praying for her health, that you will continue to keep her strong. Father, keep her opening up to various opportunities that come her way. It was good to be able to hear her on a national broadcast yesterday, the Ricky Yenden Show, at 4:30, Chicago time, 4:30 p.m. And Father, we're praying that more opportunities will come that way as she is running for President of the United States in 2020, and that she will be able to hear from the people, that she will not run from what she hears from the people, that she will take note and be able to answer the people as to why she believes that she should be the one that's chosen to run for President of the United States and to win the candidacy. But we thank you for her efforts, and we thank you for her mindset. It takes a special person and a big heart to want to bring morality back into today's society. And so, Father, we're asking you to be with her in every walk of life. She's traveling back home, and she's asking for prayer. She'll be home, she said, sometime around 11 o'clock. So she's asked for prayer for keep her family and her campaign in prayer. And we're just asking for traveling grace, that we know that sometimes our driving skills are good and our abilities are well. But, Father, the only reason we make we're successful is because you navigate those that probably couldn't get us away from us and make our skills even better. So, Father, we thank you for that. We're asking you for safety for those that are traveling with her, bless them and keep them in a very powerful way. Coming to you today in regards to Gertrude Saunders, ask you to be with Gertrude and strengthen her and her family in the way you know that she readily stands in need of. Bless her and keep her in a very powerful way. Keep her strong, keep her sound. Pray for Brenda Aberhart as well. Be with her. Strengthen her in the ways that you know she stands in need of, as well as B.J. Jackson Lopez and that great pronosticator, Mia Lopez. And I got a chance to see Billy Eric Hart today at the meeting today, and we ask you to continue to be with Eric and be with all of them as where they stand in need of. We're praying a special prayer for healing and for deliverance, also for rest and reinvigorated preaching power for that great pronosticator, that great brother, Neil Lopez. We ask you to bless him and keep him when his sabbatical, when you have ended his sabbatical and you've given him the sanction and you've tapped him and said it's time to go back, time to come down from the mountaintop, time to go back and be amongst the people and to help the people move on to the next level. Father, we're praying that you continue to give him the strength to climb and his wife the ability to stand next to him in a very powerful way. Praying for my cousin Edward Carr today. Ask you to be with him and bless him and keep him where he stands in need of. All my family accordingly, strengthen them in ways that you know they readily stand in need of. Good to see my preaching brother, brother Apple called Little Dynamo, Daniel Carter, coming all the way from down south. Ask you to bless him and keep him. He's a ministering evangelist. Bless him and keep him in the ways you know he stands in need of. Be with his family and all the works that he does as he's spread the corn to so many and has reached the masses. Father, we just pray that he has the energy to continue to encourage us, including myself, to continue to stay on the path and to continue to walk in the path that they've walked in. And so I thank you for their footsteps and their example. Father, I ask you to continue to bless him and keep him and his family in the way he stands in need of. Pray for Diana Kennedy today. I ask you to be with her. Stretch her, bless her in the ways you know she stands in need of. Continue to strengthen her areas and her family in the ways you know that she really stands in need of. Pray also for the one that Denise Troutman Donnell has asked you to continue to be with her and her family. Father, bless him and keep them in a very powerful way, as well as Mario Williams, a sharp dresser. Good to see your brother. And brother, I always got some clean shoes out and some better cuffs. Ask you to be with him, Father. Bless him in the way that you know he readily stands in need of. We're praying for Elmira Peavy and Diane Mills today. Ask you to be with them and strengthen them, Father, in the way they stand in need of. Be with their families accordingly. And I thank you for bringing them to the line this evening. Pray for my wife. Pray for myself. Pray for our daughters, Juanita and Nicole. Our fathers, pray for family in general. I ask you to be with my mother, and be with my brothers, and be with my cousins. And I ask you to be with my cousin Dale and the decisions that he's making Father, bless him and keep him in the way he stands in need of, that he's able to make these decisions and that he's moving in a path that that he believes that he should be on. And so, Father, I'm asking you to continue to bless him and keep him and strengthen him today. Now, Father, as we get ready to go to the Word of God, we thank you for the Word of God, which is our guiding light. Set eyes to our feet, set light into our path. Father, I don't want to be remiss. It was good to see Brother Harry today. Good to see you. And we're praying for him in regards to some pain that he's receiving in his hip area. And he's going to let me know as he talks to the doctor what the next stages will be. And then we're praying for my May. Good to see my May as well today. Ask you to bless and keep her when she stands in need of it. She continues to go forward. Praying for Lady Doss. Good to see you, Mom Doss. Ask you to bless and keep her in the way she stands in need of and family accordingly. And others that are coming on, Father, we ask you to bless them. Those that we're unable to see coming through, I'm asking you to continue to strengthen their lives as well. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. We're just humble today. Good to see you, Brother Desmond. Bless your heart, Doc. We're just humble today because we know that we serve a God that's better to us than we've been to ourselves. And so, at the Church of Christ, the one that you can read about in the Bible, we follow the apostles' doctrine, either by direct command, by inference, or by parable or association. And so, we find in Acts 20:7, it was upon the first day of the week that the apostles came together to break bread. Paul continued to teach until midnight, saying, "For I received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And we find in the first century that the breaking of bread, which took place after meals, after they had a meal, then they would have the breaking of bread. It was the communion, the unleavened bread, right, and the cup, which is shedded blood. And so he says, "Take this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And after his cup, he said, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. Drink you all of it in remembrance of me." So we're to remember Jesus and what we do. It's all about God. It's not about us. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, as often, how often? Well, our job was every first day of the week. We see that they did that. We also know that if we do the ritual, they did it every day, the mealtime. I have no problem with every day, but when Acts 27, we find it on the first day of the week, the apostles came together to break bread. So when we come together in corporate worship on the first day of the week, we break bread. Right? So do this in remembrance of me, for now that you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, he eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. Many of us take the Lord's supper in an unworthy manner, unworthy mindset, unworthy behavior. And we don't understand how detrimental to our spiritual and physical health that can be. Let us together pray. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken wine, your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray that we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may tell now, take the bread and the wine. I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Well, they pierced him in the side, oh yes. Oh, they pierced him in the side, oh yes. Oh, they pierced him in the side. For me, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Do you take it personal? Do you recognize that God died for you personally, and everything he went through was to give you the opportunity to be restored, reconciled back to the Father? Just makes me hum every once in a while. Makes me humble every time I think about it. It makes me just want to lift up holy hands and thank God for what he did. A substitutionary position on God out there that I could not do for myself. Let's go to the scripture. Good to see you, Timothy Whitehead. Bless your heart. Bless you being with us today. And Katrina, Lamont, good to have both of you this evening. Praise God. Happy how you guys are doing. We're so thankful for you being in class, being in worship this evening. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90. We'll turn to the 90th division of the book of Psalms. And I get a moisture. I like the book of Psalms because the book of Psalms is poetry. It's reality. It was Israel's songbook. But we read, these were choruses that they sung as they was going through what they're going through. And so Psalms, right? And hymns and spiritual songs. That's good to see you, Sister Meredith Stevenson. That's what God wants from us, to be in a mindset of constantly thinking and not allowing negative energy to penetrate our mind. There's a whole lot there, because many times what gets us in trouble is the very things that we say, the very things we do, and the very things that we think. Many times we don't think that our thinking, try to adjust this a little bit, sorry about that, but our thinking has a lot to do with it. But our thinking has everything to do with it. That's why God wants to be in control of the intent of your heart, the very temporal lobes in your brain. Because that's before you act. There are signals, there are impulses, there are thoughts that turn, that trigger response within your body. Before you lift your hand, there is a signal that goes on that is sent from your brain that, okay, it's time to lift your hand, and knows which one to send it to, which side of the brain to send it to, and connect it correctly so that it does not, well, you want this one to raise, it doesn't do this. And so we find out through science, through palsy and different things of that nature, where people are having struggling problems, through accidents and whatever, the magnitude of the brain that God wired together, the electricity that goes on with the brain. And we can become electrified in our faith in the same manner that God wants us to be electrified in our decisions towards him. Oh, man, we'll get some things done for the Lord, won't we? We can do a lot by ourselves individually, or just the people that we have in our own circle. But can you imagine if you can get together a bulk or an oikos, you can get together an ecclesia, an assembly of people of common salvation, of common knowledge, of common thought, believers, you will be able to conquer anti-Christism in your neighborhood. Oh, I know I'm wrong about that. We have to be able to make a stand. But we can't make a stand if we won't study. That's why the Bible says study to show thyself approved a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying is more important. It's faith binding. We always talk about the Bible, and the acronym the Bible is basic information before leaving Earth. And I've been asked to speak next week at Robbins Church of Christ with Dr. David C. Dinn, and I'm so thankful that he's asked me. It's an honor to come that way and share with him what we have. And I asked him, I said, what's the thing? And he said, it's the Bible. And I just laughed. I said, I think we can find something in there. He says, I know you can. And so there's so much in there. But many times we look at the Bible based off of what we've been told. It's just basic information before basic instruction before leaving Earth. But I look at the Bible a little more intently. It's because I believe in life eternal. That's why I said it. I want the information. I want the gnosis. But just having information and doing anything about it or not digging any action in it is a problem. So while I'm maybe just getting basic information before leaving Earth, I'm believing in life eternal. So because I believe in life eternal with God, and because I want to go to heaven with God, and because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, then we need to understand the importance of studying. It's more deeper than reading. It's taking time to meditate, to chew, to ponder, to absorb, to challenge yourself so that you can be redirected or reprogrammed by God. Come on, preacher, what are you talking about, reprogrammed? Yes. See, Satan is trying to program you into his channel, into his frequency, and he uses all kinds of subliminal messages, all kinds of different types of TV shows and different types of things that you do in conversations with people. And unless you have your antenna up that you can block, right, evil malware that is a threat to your spiritual system, then you're not going to be able to elevate on the elevator of love. So let's go to God's word. And let's be believers. Do you believe in the word of God? There's no fairy tale. Someone died. And Jesus died so that you and I might have life and life eternal and a right to the tree of life. Psalms chapter 9. And I'm reading for the Holman's Christian Study Bible. You read from your translation. Good to see you, Brittany. Ellaby. And guys, if you can share this video, I appreciate it. Ivory Miles, good to have you this evening. Congratulations to our winner as well from 2017 Scholarship, Golgotha Scholarship Award winner, Isaiah Miles. I hear that he also has been chosen as the Levi Kennedy Scholarship to receive his information and receive his education paid for. Praise God, or a good chunk of it, however it's going to be. And so those benefits God will provide. Good to see you, Yolanda. Good to see you on that. Amen. Good to have you guys this evening. If you could share this video, it will be wonderful as we go into God's word. Psalms chapter 90. This is a prayer of Moses. Who was Moses? He's a great ruler. He was a great leader. He was a man of God. But Moses himself made some mistakes. Moses himself felt he was not eloquent enough. He felt that he was not up to the task. But if God has chosen you, then God will provide and supply you what you need. I'm having trouble talking, God. Well, then you just be quiet. Let me send you a mouthpiece. But I called you to do a job that I want you to do. Good to see you, Kelly Walker. And Kelly, go all the way back to school. They go to grade school playing music. She played clarinet. Thought I forgot that, didn't it? Now I play saxophone. Praise God for you. As we go into what we're talking about, Psalms chapter 90 is a blessing because what it does for us, it continues to strengthen us as we see Moses and we hear Moses praying. See, many times we forget that even the leaders must talk to God. They need to know which step to make, what next direction to make. And they need to have a relationship with God so strong because they're going to be leading other people. So we need to understand that we serve a God that's better to us than we've ever been to us. Psalms chapter 90. Please pray for quick and complete healing. As I was knocked down and broke my femur on Tuesday night. Kelly, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you, and good to see that you're still up and running. And we're going to pray for your health as well. We'll make sure we handle that as we close out. The Bible says, Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. You talk about that? Generations usually looked at to be around 20 years or so, right? Or a little bit more. But it says God has been our refuge. He's been our strong tower. He's been our place to go where there's safety and there is protection. He has been our source of motivation and our source of nourishment. Remember in the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge where you may be on attack and you may be a nomad and maybe an outlaw in certain areas, but if you reached this city of refuge, it was respected by those around that we don't cross these barrier lines. And as long as this individual stays in the city of refuge, they will be all right. But God has been our refuge. And Moses says that he understands that it was the Lord that has him in where he's at. It is God who has positioned him accordingly. It is God who will continue to walk with him and continue to provide for him. He understands where he gets his strength from. And he also knows who he has to follow in order for his mission to be successful. God has chosen him to lead the Israelites. And he's led them out of Egypt. If you remember the story, he led them to the ear of the Red Sea. When the Red Sea had two ears, the Sea of Aqaba and the Sea of Suez. And a lot of people think that he just crossed the whole Red Sea. No, he crossed the ear of the Red Sea, which is still the Red Sea. But as he got there, after he told Pharaoh, let God's people go, and Pharaoh, after being put in a vice grip by the Lord, gave sanction to do that. And then when he came to what he thought was a census, 3 days later, they're now on a fast pursuit of Moses and the Israelites that have left. And so Moses and the Israelites get to water in front of them in the Red Sea. More water than they can wade in, more water than they can drink. They're stuck. I can't go forward. Too much water. We're going to drown. If they go back, they find themselves in a situation where they run back into Pharaoh and they have to deal with death on that end. So I got death in front of me. I got death behind me. And I got mountains on both sides of me. What am I going to do? Well, many that don't have a relationship with God know not where to turn. But Moses took what he had
in his hand, which was a staff. And he told them, stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. And as Moses lifted up his arms, God parted the Red Sea like elevator doors and raised up dry land that was not muddy, so that these sandals that they was walking upon, that they were just a bottom on the bottom of the sandal and it was just laced around their legs, never got wet. And now they have been given deliverance. They've been given an escape route. Unbeknownst to them, but recognizing the urgency of the situation, Moses leads the Israelites on dry land across the ear of the Red Sea as they get to the other side. Notice the story. As they get to the other side, and the land still are coming across, Pharaoh's people are caught up with it because they were on chariots and horses. And so they close that 3-day gap in the being able to see them on the other side, ready to capture them. Not thinking that, man, how do they have this sea parted like elevator doors? Water standing up, still current running through it, but not parting and not going, and dry land. So, Pharaoh, let's go. And he leads them forward. And as they go into the dry land on the Red Sea, all of a sudden, the chariots start to get caught in mud. God starts to bring the water back and starts to saturate what was dry and starts to remove the dry land that they supported the Israelites, that will not support the evil that's coming after them. I hope you caught that. God will put a support under you that evil cannot walk upon, cannot ride upon. And so they died as the elevator doors of water closed on them. All of them died in the ear of the Red Sea. Every Israelite that Moses led was safe. We serve a God that can count and a God that can deliver. So Moses says, Lord, Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world. That's what you talk there. From eternity to eternity, you, Lord, are God. You need to understand how crystal clear it is that Moses sees this. He's speaking from experience, not just his own, by recognizing that we've been carried a long way. God, who made him a promise. Moses follows a cloud by day that feeds him, feeds them. Quail and manna. Coriander. He also, at night when it gets dark, that cloud becomes a fireball. And they still fall on a fireball. So God could interchange from a cloud to fire. But it's the same God. And you need to follow the lead light that God has given you. Do you understand who your refuge is? Good to see you, Big Joe. Do you understand that God can provide for you in every step of the way? Can a rocket post down and she has been knocked down and has broke her femur? Good to see you, Joe Rigo. And on Tuesday night, but do you understand she knows that the Lord who can bring healing to the bomb of Gilead is in his hand, and healing power belongs to him. So even when you become damaged physically and spiritually, there ain't who to look to. There ain't where to go. There ain't what to put yourself in. And there ain't where to secure and anchor yourself in. It's so important. And it is crucial for your healing and your moving forward. Moses didn't always talk like this. Matter of fact, Moses wanted to get out of the situation. But here we see Moses speaking strong on Psalms chapter 90. And he says, the Lord, you have been our refuge. You not only have blessed me, but you've taken care of all of us from generation to generation, every generation. And I must acknowledge that, Moses says. This is before the mountains were born. So you gave birth to the earth and the world. We forget that. But we see that it's God who becomes the omnipotent lover of the world. Where the Elohim makes a statement. God the Father says, let there be light. And there was God, there was light. But he speaks by direct command. And nothing becomes something. He took darkness and created the earth. He took, thank you, honey. He took eternity, which is in his hands, and continue to use that as he is Alpha and Omega. So as generation with the generation, with the generation, and people were born, people died, and people were saved. It was God that is the thread that carries us on. And the beautiful thing about the Bible is you have 40 or 50 writers led by the Holy Spirit, who's the third personality of the Godhead, and has them pen these words. And as writers come on the scene and leave the scene through physical death, the next one picks up. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's speaking and that's guiding and that's directing. So the Bible does not contradict itself. When you know that God is your everything, when you understand that everything has come into existence because of God, and when you understand that if you're ever going to be anything, it's going to be because God has given sanction, then you too can stand or can pray with conviction and power. Lord, you have been my refuge for my entire life, for every generation. Look at what he says in verse 3. You return mankind to the dust. Saying, return, descendants of Adam, for in your sight a thousand years are like yesterday that passed by, like a few hours of the night. You know, we take a look at the watch of the night, and sometimes we can't sleep, and a few hours have passed. God says a thousand years, but there's a few hours. Why is that significant to me? Because if God has created everything, and we know who he is, we know who he is. Well, if it's not a question, it's a statement. Since God has created everything. And God who gives birth to mankind, has mankind also go back to the dust from which he came. From death I came, from death I shall return. And he looks at time, he doesn't look at time in the same manner we do. Why is that significant? It's significant because the span of time that we live, some 20, some 30, some 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 years, right? All of God has blessed us to do, isn't even a drop in the bucket when it comes to time. And we spend our lives pulling our hair out, worrying about things that we can't control, rather than placing our faith in God, anchoring our faith in God, so that with God, we can make it through. Do you know what's most important? Your belief in God and your walk with God. And the answer test of whether you believe God or not is not how many amens you say or how much clapping that you do and jumping up and down you do. The next time you get in a pickle situation, a troublesome situation, are you dependent on the Lord to reward you or to remove or to move you through or to protect you or to guide you to be your refuge? Even when your money's short and even when the folks that you count on sometimes come up short. God never comes up short. Do you make your situation more compounded and confounded based on the fact that you are so worried that the things are not done, where the Lord, that God in His time is going to work it out? I don't have time for foolishness. And I like to have good time. But the foolishness, which is not depending on God to carry me through, to live a life full of scandal, to depend on human nature to carry me through, so you're rolling the wrong dice, and you're coming up with craps. What you need to do, put your faith in God, who's never lost the case. Every time you roll the dice with Him, He wins. Every time you step with Him, He wins. So, when I deal with a situation, in 53 years, I've learned that I'll never lose. I either win right away, or I learn the lesson that I'm supposed to be learning. Oh, yes, I take notes. Because God is trying to teach me something. And sometimes God has to knock you flat on your back, but sometimes God has to bring discomfort into your life so that He can teach you what faith is all about. You would think it's by your own power. Or you would start to think that you don't need God because of the talent level He's allowed you to reach. Or the degrees that He's given you. You don't think that your pedigree has carried you through. Not so. There's many people that have high ranking positions, that have run out the school of learning, that have became a basket case because the brain's not firing like it needs to, but all of a sudden they start to fry the circuitry and start to forget or lose faculty where they had once been sharp and successful. So we need to thank God for carrying us through, not worrying about how much we have or what we don't have, but that what we do have is the ability to have a relationship with God. And that should balance you. When God calls you, it's time to go. When God has given you love, it's time to receive. He says, you return mankind to the dust, saying, return, descend to the ladder, for in your sight 1,000 years. Our life is yesterday that passes by, like a few hours of the night. You end their lives, they sleep. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning it sprouts and grows, by evening it withers and dries up. What's that telling me? It's telling me that there's a time. Evening is when it gets too hot, or the time changes, where it cannot exist in that environment. It withers up, right? It dries up, and it no longer has sprout ability. But in the morning, when the dew has been given, the coolness is there. It's able to grow. And then it's interesting, in the seasons of time, you don't never have to go back and tell the grass that it went brown, now it's time to grow. You don't have to go and tell the trees, knock on the trees, it's time to wake up, get the sap from down below, bring it up through the tree branches so that you can now sprout leaves and sprout flowers and fruit. So God has a time that he has set, and nature understands that and moves by his movement. The problem with mankind is man has been able to give decisions. And so man has chosen that he should be able to make some decisions in his direction. Problem with that is you didn't create yourself. You don't know your purpose. And so many times your purpose and what you would like to do is contrary to where God needs to lead you. You would never go into danger or into what you thought was dangerous. But God will lead you where you normally would not step, so that you can make a difference and you can glorify God with who you are. For we are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. Verse 7, you have set our unjust ways before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. You see that? What sin do you have that's secret to God? See, this is kind of, as he's saying this and as he's writing this, he wants us to understand that even though you try to hide some sins, God turns the light off and sees you in your presence. You can't hide from God. You can't hide even the things you're trying to do from God. Our unjust ways are before God. Our sins are before God. We need to be open before God. And we need to recognize that as he prefaces this section, he says, God, you get angry. And your anger consumes you. Good to see you, everyone. Good to see you, Alexandria Green. Praise God for you. He says, it consumes you in Psalms chapter 90. And so, as we take a look at the consumption of God's anger, we see that we become terrified by the wrath. It's one thing to be angry, it's another to act out. You don't want God to have to act on your unjust ways. You don't want God to have to expose those secret sins, right? So God wants us to be self-managers, to be self-evaluators, and to keep ourselves together so that we don't have to walk this way. Because you can't fool God. You can't play God short. You can't do God wrong. God is a great daytime. And just when you think you're getting over, you're not. Just when you think you're getting ready to make the right step, the right move, God shows you, no, I remember what you did. See, even though God has an anger and a wrath, we forget that God has a sense of humor and he has laughter. And God will always get the last laugh. You can't prank God. You can't pull one on God. But what you can do is obey God. For your obedience is better than sacrifice. When you understand what it is God wants you to do, walk therein. You understand that God is the reason that things exist. God is the beginning and the ending from eternity to eternity. God has taken our forefathers and our mothers and our grandmothers and those who came before us and has provided for them. And we tap into the same energy because it's the same God, past, present, and future. We have the ability to take God's anger, things that we know we get angry about. If we study, we'll find it out. And redirect it constructively so that we don't fall under the wrath of disobedience. Rather, we fall under the obedience that God will constructively position us so that you can live the abundant life. We are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. You have set our unjust ways before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days am away under your wrath. All our days. All our days can be taken away because of God's wrath. In our years like a sigh. Can I take it a good sigh? Fill up your lungs up with oxygen. Just fill it up and just let it go. Well, that's the same way it takes place when you breathe your last breath. And now you're going to become fertilizer for daisies. Right? Our lives last 70 years. Or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are stronger. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly, for we fly away. Time is short. Just as you think you got a long time, if you really take a look and analyze, time has went so fast. You used to have a gray anywhere, now you have to color that gray, don't you? You never had a wrinkle anywhere, now you have to do it. You just used to rip and run, no shirt off or whatever else when you was younger. Now when you get 40, they say things change. Now you recognize that there was some real to that. Arthritis becomes a partner, becomes part of your family, right? You have some different changes. You're taking some medication you didn't have to take before. You're doing stretches and you're having to do things to keep yourself vital and limber that you didn't have to do before because joints are starting to tighten up. Things have changed. As you get older, your body is going to adjust. It's going to be a struggle. And it's going to come with some sorrow. Oh, it's a blessing to be able to live, to be 100, but don't you think you're going to live to be 100 without having to go through some different changes in your body? Indeed, they pass quickly, and we fly away. When time is ending, you take your last sigh, and God takes the spirit back from which he once gave. Then we have to sit back and say, God, while we have breath in our body, we want to serve you. Look at verse 11. Who understands the power of your anger? Who can? There are those that have went through and have looked at, even in today's society, God has stated he is not going to end the world with water again. He will never give a universal flood. But there's still area floods. There's still hurricanes. Right? There's still areas that God can take water and wind and show his power. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you. Verse 12. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. See, your life experience is really one of discipleship. And you're in school right now. God's trying to teach you something. Do you have your pen? And do you have your paper ready to write down, take notes? God's trying to help us to see that we're students, right? We're not just followers, but we have to be learners of the way he has for us. Teach us to number our days. You've been given a number of days. Many times you sit down in 8 hours, you want to accomplish this. You know, if you work 8 hours or you work 40 hours, you're looking for a check. You're counting your days, you're counting. Well, we need to teach how a number of this will be advantageous to God. And if we do that carefully, we may be able to develop wisdom in our hearts. Now, that's not this blood part. That's in where we make our decisions at. God's trying to get in the driver's seat so that you make better decisions of wisdom. Now, the word wisdom is a two-part word. Wiz, which is wise, and dumb, which is dull. God wants us to have a wise dull. Right? This is the dull, right? And he wants it to be used wisely. Mama used to say it like this. Use your head for more than a hat rack. You heard that? That means make some better decisions for things that you do. So what we have here is we have wise dominion. He wants you to make sound decisions with the things you have been given stewardship over. With my living. Give God your living, and God will take care of your life. Right? Give God your giving, and God will provide your every need. Okay, preacher, I give my 10%, and I sometimes I even give a few extra dollars out of my tithe and my offering in there. And I commend you for that. But that's what we need to do. We have to go under a better covenant with better promises. And so under the Mosaic law, that's what it was. And so we need to come up. We need to up and one. But many times we forget, even though God only requires the 10% and the plus, what you doing with that other 90%? You can't go out and do what you want to do with the 90% in sinful ways, wicked ways, and be pleasing to God. You are child of God 24/7. You are child of God wherever you go. And so what you do, what you support, what you maneuver with, what you work with, God will continue to bless. If you use the 90% and you invest it back in God, and projects of God is preferred, is helping ministries grow and being able to feed the homeless, clothe someone that needs clothing, take care of widows, go see the incarcerated, those incarcerated, do things of that nature, which is ministry based. Do you know that God will make you more plenteous than you will ever know? You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, Psalm 1. That brings forth its fruit in its season. Doesn't really, whatsoever it does, prospers. Vinces and godly are not like that. They're like residue, but chaff that the wind blows away. Lord, teach us. Are you ready to learn? See, I've been told that when the student is ready, then the teacher will appear. When the student is ready, then the teacher will appear. Are you so critical or so set in your ways that you can't hear from other people that's trying to help you or trying to feed you what you need to know so that you'll be able to accomplish the task at hand? Especially if you've never done it before. You need to be ready to receive the information God's going to send you from those we all know they're being used as a conduit pipe. Good to see you. Hans Singerfeller, praise God for you. So as I get ready to close this, teach us the number of days so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. You are a developing Christian. So God is the developer, and you are the developee. And God wants to develop in you an image that's pleasing to him. Think about photography. Now, not the way they do it now, where things are instamatic and things are laser formatted, things are digital based. But if you go back when we was using film, and the film had to go to a dark room, what they did when you took a picture, it took an inverse image of what it is that you wanted to see. It's called a negative. And so when you went into the light room, into the dark room, you turn all the lights off in the dark room, because you have maybe blue lights on or whatever, and you took your film, 35 millimeter or whatever you had, and as you put it through the solution, and then you brought forth the images, it gave an inverse image, which came became the picture of what the image was. If the negative was exposed to too much light, you would never get the image that was taken. If it was exposed to the wrong environment, it will have an impact on the developmental process. God is trying to develop us, but we won't mature it to be able to be whichever class is ready to be taught. If you really want to go to heaven, then you are in school 24/7, 365 days a year. You're constantly taking in information, and you're constantly working for the cause of Christ. And if you spend 6 months doing minding your own business and 6 months staying out of somebody else's business, you don't have time to dibble dabble in somebody else's causes, because you got enough to deal with on your own. So, God, I'm ready to be taught. I have my pen. I have my paper. What do you have for me? Teach us to number our days carefully, that we might develop wisdom in our heart. Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love, so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many as you have humbled us. For as many years as we have seen adversity. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Let the favor of the Lord, our God, be on us. Establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. How long? That question that you ask God really is a question that you ask yourself. If Jesus died for you before you were here, and he's waited through developing all this time for you to get here, and 1,000 years is like a few hours with God, time really is insignificant, because a sovereign God can work when he's ready to work. So we just need to say, Lord, thank you. You can let him know that you're looking for some expediency and some urgency. But just thank him for his timing, because when he shows up, he's going to show out. What do you ask God for? That's what we talked about the other day. What are you praying for? I hope your prayer is that you want to be a child of God and that you want to please God. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without it, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is. You must believe that God is. We must come to God. Preacher, I'm already here. You must come to God. Ask God for a deeper relationship with him. Good to see you, Carla Dawson. Ask him for more intimacy. Ask him for more knowledge. Ask him for more deliverance so that you can make better decisions. So that the things you do please God. And God will navigate you through life, away from the landmines of life. And if you step in a landmine and it blows up, God will protect you, as he did the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hope, trust, and pray that this lesson has blessed you as you think about you being mortal man. And as we pray to an eternal God, do you really understand that God who created everything don't need your 2 cents? He just wants your obedience. He wants to hear thank you from you from time to time. I want you to appreciate him as he continues to bless you. And if your mindset is not to thank God for what he's done, but to criticize him for what you think you don't have. Be careful of the wrath that comes from the anger. Because I would hate to lift up the proverbial hairs on the back of God's neck and the anthropomorphic neck to deal with the wrath of his anger. God allows us to have a relationship with him so that we don't have to experience his anger unconstructively, but that we can be a part of developing programs and situations that will be pleasing and be that will be pleasing and directional for those to come from eternity to eternity and generation to generation. Let us together pray. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you for what you do and thank you for everybody that you send. We thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We ask you to be with these servants today, Father, strengthen them in ways you know they stand in need of. We're praying also for Sister Kelly Walker. Ask you to bless her and keep her as she was knocked down and broke her thumb on Tuesday night. Father, we're asking you for quick and complete healing, knowing that you are a deliverer in ways we can't find ourselves in. Father, we ask you to continue to bless us and keep us on this day. And as we get ready to go to Blog Talk to talk to Big Joe and my wife and others that may come on, Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen them and bless them. But they'll be able to share something with somebody that they have not thought about, even through the lesson, that will be able to help them in their daily walk. Thank you for us. Thank you for allowing the Word of God to penetrate all of us. For this is our roadmap. It is our stairway to heaven. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. For those of you who would like to call in, I'd like you to call in at 619-924-0767, 619-924-0767 right now, 619-924-0767. Let's go to the lines. Go to my wife first today. How you doing, honey? Are you there, dear?
Yes, I am. Wife is doing fine. I'm just going to listen to the lesson and magnify. Listen to the lesson and just trying to penetrate on words that you said some this evening and dealing with God. And just what I got from that is your relationship with God, the trust that we have in God that guides us to do what we know we should do, but if we do not have that trust, that can cause us fear and cause us to hold back. So I just want to pray for myself, for just continue on with strength to continue just to grow and grow in God and become just to the point where I know, as you talked about with Moses.
Amen. Appreciate that. Definitely. There's areas that we find ourselves holding back. And why, like Moses, why do we hold back when God would give us everything? We've been psychologically psyched out, or fear that's taken over our heart. Help us to continue to move forward. Very good comment. Thank you so very much, dear. Big Joe, you there? How you doing this evening,
man? Man, I'm there in my underwear, laying in the bed, man. What's up? I'm all right, Mike. I went to the Men's Day celebration at the Antioch today, man, and was reading Psalms 40, man, about bringing me out this horrible pit, getting me out this horrible pit, man. And, like, you know, and then I connected with your lesson, and you talking about time and different things, like, and you know, and being devoted to the Lord. It's amazing about time and timeless. You know, timeless is eternity. You know what I mean? So time, we want to make sure we do the right thing in our time, the time that we're here, and because like now, like you were saying, I got a flashback of you and I playing on stage, and like how we like get a certain spirit going, and we it's like being in a gospel church, you know, we get that, and I said, you know, our calling. Let me get my thoughts straight real quick. Our calling. Now you know what. You have been such a big part in that, helping me understand my calling. And like, and that's why the best call I make is the call on this line right now, you know, to help me with my calling. You know what I mean? And like, I said, well, my brother, he then went on to the Lord, and he said, well, wait a minute, Joe, guess what? You going with me. You know what I mean? And it's like, hey, man, we ain't on that stage together, but we are on a bigger stage now, Michael.
That's
we're
right.
We're on a much bigger stage now. We have a huge audience. You know what I mean? And it's all about spirit, and the time that we have right now is a time well spent. You know, and I really hey baby, how you doing? You there? I had to say hi to your wife too. But I understand.
Hi,
what
you were, I'm still here. Thank you. How you doing?
I said totally what you just said, them last words you just said. And it's just connecting the dots. It's connecting the dots, man. It's like putting, and two. Like when you say hide a little sin, trying to hide, you can't hide nothing from God, man. I had to wake up and myself, you know, like, I mean, the times of me coming out of my darkness and when I like coming out and I faint. And I faint. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, and every time when I faint, it's like I jump up quicker. You know what I mean? I, you know, like the first time I faint, I'm like, oh man, what happened? What happened now with the Lord? And I faint coming to the Lord, and I faint. I jump up quicker. Like, oh Lord, like, hey, hold on for a minute. I gotta run. I come running to the Lord. I do fear. You know what I mean? And it's just a different vibe for me right now. It's just. Every day is so new for me right now, and going deeper in this and knowing you guys, and I got that, and I come running to you, just like I come running to the Lord, you know, because it's all connected, just to come running to you and join hands with you and get hear your voice on this phone is the most important thing for me, you know what I mean, it's so important, yeah, I can go to bed after this and wake up and see the Lord's Son and all the visions, and you are right there. You're right there. You guys are right there. You know, so I love you with all my heart.
We love you too, Doc. Appreciate that comment. And it's so important to understand as we need to prioritize them. Like I heard you say, you're in your skimpies. However, you knew that it was time to come together. And if there's anything more important, we can do so many other things. But it was time to sit and listen to God's word in our lives. That's so important. And so it's I commend you. And we're on a little bit later today than we normally are on Sunday. We're usually on at 6 o'clock. We had to move it to 7 today. And but we still thank God for just the ability to be able to talk and share His word with one another. You guys do something today that they can't repay you for, give them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look out for one another, love one another, and continue to be strong with one another. Love you so very much. Those in Blog Talk Land, Norway, Canada, and the continental United States, thank you for tuning in to Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, Pastor Mike Peavy, and others that are here with us. And those that are on Facebook Live, we thank you, we love you, and we'll see you soon. God bless in the name of the Lord. Have a great day.
Amen. Amen.